Praise God, if that's our lot this morning. Complete in Him. Justified. The last verse says that when we stand before God, it says that we are so confident about it that when we stand before God, we're going to stand on His right side and we're going to be complete in Him. Is that how we feel this morning? Praise God if we do. This is the second Sunday of May, which the calendar says is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to you mothers here this morning. If you have come this morning expecting a full-fledged Mother's Day sermon, I hope you will not be disappointed. I have, I think, very valid reasons for not preaching to just the mothers this morning. If you want to know those reasons, you can check with me later. But I do want to speak to mothers this morning, as well as to the rest of us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 is our text verse this morning, as well as our title. And this verse said, "Who has God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." The title this morning is Saved Us and Called Us. Saved us and called us. We want to look at least three different phrases here to get a direction on what we want to talk about this morning. The first thought that we have here, it says, God who has saved us. I'm pulling the word God out of verse 8, as you know. God who has saved us. And that saved us is, what is He talking about? Saved us from what? Physical harm and danger? Well, many times. But that's not what this verse is talking about. He has saved us. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. You can probably quote this verse, but I want you to look at it again this morning. Colossians 1, verse 13. It talks about the Father in verse 12. That the Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Saved us from what? From the power of darkness. He has delivered us from that. He has saved us from the power of darkness. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That is talking about what happened when we were saved. We were saved and have, by claiming God's promises and by accepting that by faith, these great and precious promises. For one, we can be partakers of the divine nature. That to me is a thrill. You've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again because it thrills me as I think about. And it's actually a very sobering thought that we as sinful people can be saved to a point where we can have a divine nature within us. Now that becomes sound doctrine. We can go in a Sunday school lesson on that. But anyway, and it says we have, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Back to this thought in 2 Timothy. He has saved us from what? From the powers of darkness. Saved us from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I don't think that we can understand real well, grasp really the fact on what we have been spared from by the very fact that many of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior at a young age. But praise God for a salvation that is there for anybody that is at an older age even, that has accepted Christ. They have too been saved, just the way us that were maybe younger. But we have been spared from a lot, and God wants to spare many people from a lot more yet. But this corruption that is in the world through lust, from the power of darkness, that's what 2 Timothy is telling us, that he has saved us from these things. And it does. We don't have to go far if we want to see the corruption that is in the world through lust. I was driving through the community the other day on my way to the chicken farm, and here's this man walking across the yard, very miserable looking man. And I have known him for years, and I hadn't seen him in a while, so I pulled in there and I said, so how are you doing this morning? I'm doing okay. I said, well, I haven't seen you in around a while. Yeah. I said, what about your brother? Oh, he's in prison. I said, well, you probably just came out of there yourself, didn't you? Well, yeah. And he looked downright miserable. And I have seen him almost every day since that. And every day it looks more miserable. And I stopped and talked to him for a while that one time. And he is just downright miserable. And drugs and et cetera have messed up his mind by now. And each day I see him, it looks worse with him. We haven't been there, brothers and sisters. We haven't been in the gutter to that extent, but we've been separated from God. We were headed the same direction, many of us. And just the very fact, if we have not been saved by Jesus Christ, we've not been saved by faith, we've talked about, if God has not saved us, we are just as lost as my neighbor man is. We may not feel as miserable and feel that the whole world is against us and everybody's out to get us and that we're rigged with something that people can just control us by those kind of things, even though we feel at times people are controlling us. But not the same way. But if we have not been saved, like this verse tells us, we are just as lost as he is. But God has made provisions that we can be saved from the corruption that is in the world through lust. The other thing is that he has called us. In verse 9 as well, he has saved us and he called us. Called us for what? Remember what Colossians 1:13 says. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has called us to be workers in the kingdom. That's what he has saved us for. Not just so that we don't go to hell. That's not why he has saved us. Not just for that. He wants workers in his kingdom. And so he has called us this morning to be workers in the kingdom. He has called us. And another precious promise he gives us in Corinthians, he says, I will be a father unto you. If you're going to separate yourselves, come out from among them, you're going to be saved. He said, I'm going to be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. What a promise. So he is calling us to be his sons and daughters this morning. And that's why he saves us, so that we can be his sons and daughters, and he has a work for us in his kingdom, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Workers in the kingdom. That's what he wants of us this morning. And so let's think about that. We have a number of callings here this morning. He has called us as his people to workers in the kingdom. Let's break that down to be on a more practical level for us here this morning. We have a number of specific callings here this morning. This morning we have people here that are called to be husbands. We have people here this morning that are called to be wives. We have fathers. We have mothers. We have minister here this morning. We have a deacon here this morning. We have school teachers. We have young people. We have children. Are all these callings? There's a reason that we are where we are. We'll look at that more in detail later. We have specific callings here this morning, and that's why I said it's a Mother's Day message. It's also a Father's Day message. It's a message for each one of us. As we think of God calling us, let's think of these practical aspects of that calling. Because, like I said, he did not just call us to save us, but he did not just save us to keep us out of hell, but he called us to work in his kingdom, and how are we doing in our calling? The other thing we want to look at in verse 9 out of 2 Timothy, before we leave that, is he has called us with what? With a holy calling. With a holy calling. Now that is a sobering thought as well. Why is this a holy calling? Because this calling is coming from a holy God to serve in his kingdom. And it is the kingdom of his dear son. And his dear son is a holy person. It is a holy calling from an almighty God, from a holy God, so that we can serve him. And it's not according to our works. He didn't say, you know what? These people have done such a good job with being mothers and fathers. They have done such a good job by being my children. You know what? I'm going to give them a special calling. It's not according to our works. We're not saved by according to our works, lest any man should boast. And I think the same would apply here. We can say, well, yeah, I performed pretty good, so therefore God has called me to be a dad this morning. We don't have experience to be dads before we are dads, by the way. Even though we have a whole lot of answers before that, okay? And mothers the same way. We tend to have a lot of answers before God calls us to be a mother or a father. But somehow, well, you know what happens to those answers, right? After we become mothers and fathers. So it's not according to our works. It is according to God's calling and his desire for us. And it is a holy calling. And all that fits into God's purpose is to fit that into the kingdom and work in our specific realm that God has called us to do. And called us to fill. And it is a holy calling. And it is for one purpose. Each of these different aspects that we're going to talk about this morning is for a specific person. Purpose. And that is, again, to work in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the church and the different aspects of the church. And in verse 18 it says that he has set every member in the body as it has pleased him. And our calling, I think, can be very similar. Because what I'm saying by that is God has not called each of us to be fathers this morning. Okay, a number of us are, but not all of us are necessarily called for that. Is that a mistake? No, it is not a mistake. God has chosen it that way. Sure, it has pleased him to call some to be fathers, some not to be fathers, some to be mothers and not to be mothers. And all your other callings that God has given you. He has set it there as it has pleased him. Again, it's a holy calling. The thing that we want to consider along with this holy calling this morning is how faithful are we in our calling? That's where we want to get very, very practical. Very practical. How faithful are we in our calling? Ephesians 4 in verse 1 encourages us to be faithful. Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul is saying here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I know this is talking largely about being a child of God, but you know, it breaks down to very practical everyday living. He is beseeching us that we're going to walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling that we have in life. Hebrews chapter 3. Here we have another beautiful example, a very sobering example that we wonder how we can follow this example. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he that hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. This is Jesus Christ. He says, For Jesus Christ was faithful to him that appointed him. What a powerful example that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession, high priest of our calling. He's the one that went before us. He, remember, we're translated into his kingdom, and he is the one that sets the example before us. He was faithful to him that appointed him. Jesus said over and over in his walk with on earth that he has come to do his Father's will, nothing else but his Father's will. And he was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. That's how obedient he was and faithful he was to his calling. God had appointed him and he was faithful. What an example for us to follow. Are we that faithful in our calling that we have? Let's break this down to very practical levels. Even though it's Mother's Day, we're going to start off with fathers because a very important factor. Fathers have been called to lead out. Now, you young men that aren't fathers yet, just listen. But we'll be talking about you in a little bit here. But fathers are called to lead out in the home. That doesn't mean that we want our children just to do what I say, but don't do as I do. We lead them by example and by teaching. We lead them by example. We need to lead out in our homes. We need to be there for them. Let me branch out in that in a little bit. Let's talk about mothers. Mothers have an important role in the home. And mothers are called, one of their responsibilities is to prepare young children to face life in whatever aspect that may be. And the reason I specify young children is because once it becomes to, with teenagers, there's parts that you do and there's parts that dad needs to do. And you work together at it. But mothers in particular are called to prepare young children to face life. And especially your daughters. May not be just young daughters, but maybe your teenage daughters. Your mothers are called to prepare them for life. The thing that so often gets missed in this calling is just how to be practical homemakers. After all, Titus, in our Sunday school lesson today, we didn't talk much about those, unless you did when I had stepped out for a bit, but it talked about practical homemaking. Are you mothers fulfilling your calling in that place? You know, then there's some here this morning that our husbands might be fit in the category of husband and wife, but they are not mothers and fathers. That is no less a calling than those that have children. No less a calling. They're still calling. And sometimes it's a difficult calling. Sometimes it's a calling that causes a lot of tears and a lot of questions. And we wonder now why. But you know, even though my wife and I have two children, but the question came to us many times, why not more than that? Why not more than that? But you know, the conclusion that we come to, that there is a calling or a different ministry. You know, for you that have a number of children, that have one or many children, that is a ministry in itself. Right there, God has called you to that. But God has placed people in his kingdom to serve in other ways, even though they might be husband or wife, even though they may not be children, but there's a different ministry. And sometimes that is hard to understand, but there is a different ministry that God is calling other than raising children. And we can branch out from there. But I don't want anybody to feel this morning that just because they have not called to be a mother or father means that their calling is any less. It is still an important calling. It is an important calling. The desire to have a family is very normal, and it's good. It's a good desire. But there's also a different ministry that God at times calls us to, and we need to continue to seek the Lord in that. But as we think about our responsibilities as fathers and mothers, are we faithful in our calling? You know, do we as parents discuss with our children and our teenagers? I mentioned about mothers preparing their children on practical things. But do we discuss with our children the practical aspects of life on a very practical level? Remember that we have been called to be workers in the kingdom, right? We have been saved and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so our children are growing up, our teenagers are growing up, and they have been called to serve in the kingdom. Do they know what the kingdom is supposed to look like? Do they know how the kingdom is supposed to work? Do they understand on how what kingdom living really means? Now let me tell you something. Unless we as parents are going to sit down and teach them by example, by a living example, and by practical teaching out of our mouth, they sometimes have to conclude what kingdom living looks like. Sometimes they look at others and sometimes they get a distorted view. But let me tell you something, mothers and fathers here this morning, God has called us to teach them what kingdom living really is about. Yes, that's what our calling is. And are we doing that? Are we faithful in the vocation wherewith we are called? Are we walking worthy of that? Now let's take that a step farther. What do I mean by what kingdom living looks like? Fathers, how often have you had a discussion with your teenagers about various practical things of life? Okay? We talk about how to manage money. We need to talk about the vehicles that are acceptable to drive. We are talking about houses. We are talking about clothing. We are talking about just the ways of life, right? So choices need to be made on every one of these and many more. These young people are making choices. Your sons and daughters are making choices. Are you leading out by example and by teaching them how do these things fit into the kingdom of God? Are you talking about these things at home? Are you at home to be able to talk about these things is another question. Brothers and sisters, fellow parents here this morning, are we faithful in our calling of God to teach what kingdom living really is about? You know, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with the fact that, well, these teenagers, you know, they got these pickup trucks that the church doesn't allow. And so we take an issue with that. I'll be honest with you, my thoughts on that is that I think we have we maybe just have a little bit of a distorted view, if that's the way we feel about it. Does these things fit into the kingdom of God, or do they not? Do we discuss these things? Do we really discuss these things? Mothers, do you discuss these aspects with your daughters? Not pickup trucks. I mean aspects that relate to girls and to your daughters. Do you discuss these things? You know, there's a number of things, very practical things. And I'm not sure if I should mention these practical things, but I will a few. Okay, I did over here. I think I can do over here too. You know, does it make a difference on how they comb their hair, whether it fits into the kingdom of God or not? Does that matter? Or does it look like some fad of the world? And we don't follow fads of the world, by the way, do we? But what about Mennonite fads? How does that fit into the kingdom of God? Just because they do it over there and we can swoop our hair whichever which direction, does that fit into the kingdom of God? Does it look like godly girls would dress and act? Behavior that becometh godliness and the way they dress. Do you discuss these things? Okay, I'll quit naming things. But do you discuss these things on how this fits into the kingdom of God? Practical. Living, how does it work? Brothers and sisters, fellow parents here this morning, are we walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called? This is something that God is calling us to do. And how does these things fit into the kingdom? Young people, you've not been called to be fathers and mothers yet, but you have been called. You have been saved and you have been called for what? There's a number of things that God has placed in your life. Are you faithful in these things? Let's think about a few practical things. If you are a child of God this morning, you want to be serving in His kingdom, everything that you have, you say belongs to God. Are you using it in that way? For one, let's first talk about obedience. Obedience, how does that fit into this thing? How are we faithful in that? God is calling you to be obedient to what? To your parents' teaching? To sound doctrine? Follow that? Be obedient to church? To be obedient to any authority that is over you? You being obedient and submissive to that. God has saved us and has called us. He has called you to be obedient to them that are your authority. Are you faithful in the things that God has entrusted to you? God has entrusted quite a bit of things to you, material things. Are you using money matters? Money matters, and that could branch into things that you purchase with that. Are you using them for God's honor and glory? I just told your parents that they need to teach you how and how these things fit into the kingdom. But I want you to understand that, and some of you are responsible for making your own decisions. Okay? But I trust those are based on the principles that your parents have taught you on how these things fit into the kingdom. But I want you to stop and think about when you make purchases, whether it's dress fabric or it's a pickup truck, or whether it's a hairdo, or whether whatever you don't purchase them, but whatever you do, these you make decisions. Are they based on the kingdom? And so is it okay for me to spend this God's money on this? Is this going to fit into the kingdom of God? Now, some of you might be thinking by now that I've gone just a little bit overboard and preached about the kingdom in a wrong way. I don't know. But what was Jesus' first message when he came? It said he went about and he preached the message that repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How, after we are saved, we no longer go back to discussing just on what it means to be saved. We are now part of the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be practical? Living out the kingdom of God and His teaching. And so the things that you own, young people, back to you again, is are you making those decisions based on whether they fit into the kingdom of God or not? Does it look like it would be okay? Can I give God a ride on my pickup truck? Would God be pleased with this dress fabric I bought and many other decisions that you make? You stop and think about those things. Are you faithful in what God has entrusted to you? Or these selfish desires that you're filling? It's my money. Who can tell me what to do with it? Well, if it's yours, probably nobody. But if you are called by God to serve, then everything that you have is His. How easily would you blow the change from purchasing something for your dad at the store and there's $12.50 worth of change that you need to give back to him when you come home? Would you be okay with just blowing that before you ever get home? You can stop at Starbucks and blow that in a hurry. I think, they tell me. I've never done it. I don't blow money there. Maybe other places. But No, you're accountable to your dad. You're going to give it to him. Now, the money that you actually have that is yours belongs to God, right? He has called you. He has called you to serve in his kingdom. And he says, I'm going to give you this amount of money that you're earning. We don't think about it that way, but that's really what's happening. We are earning this money. And now I need to serve in kingdom with that. And how's that going to look? How's that going to be? And it goes way beyond just the pickup trucks and the property we will buy. There's needs in the kingdom of God. Are we sensitive to that? Are we walking worthy of the calling that God has called us to this morning? Even in little things, do little things matter? Does that little pocket change, does that really matter? Sometimes, you know, we think about it. Is it okay if I buy me a Pepsi in town? I mean, I can easily wait till I get home, right? Do those little things matter? I'm not telling you not to buy Pepsi in town. I'm just talking about do little things matter. And little things do matter. Matthew 25 tells us that little things do matter. Look at that verse. Matthew 25. And here is a principle. Many years ago, my oldest son was quite young. I tried to teach him this principle, not really thinking about this verse. But we have this German phrase that says like this, wer dort klinet nicht iet, es dort grotet nicht wird. And that simply means that if you don't honor the little things, you're not worthy of the big thing. And so as little boys, they want big jobs, right? And how it is, they want something bigger than... But yet they slack off in those little things that really don't really matter that much. You know, to feed the pussycat in the back deck is no big deal, but I sure would like to feed the pigs. Okay, I'm just talking about those little, do little things matter in life? Matthew 25 and verse 21. Here we have the story of the talents. And this is another passage we look at, would fit right into what we're talking about. And by the way, these talents, I think, is the gifts that God has given us. Our calling in life would fit right into these things. And so the question we ask this morning, are we faithful in the calling that God has called us to? And I'm not just talking to the young people anymore. I'm talking to all of us this morning. And how detailed are we in following God? And you need to know you are responsible to God in your calling. Verse 21. Hereafter, one of these men had brought back these talents, and he had gained five others. His Lord says unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Little things do matter. And what I mean by that is this. Let me explain what I mean by that. Is if we are faithful in the calling, in the position that God, the role that God has us right now. Whether you are a young person this morning and you have never been called to be a mother or a father, are you faithful in what God has called you to right now? If you are not faithful in that, if you do not deem that worthy of your attention and your best and your all into it, why would God call you to be a father and a mother? God does sometimes. I understand that. I'm just saying that we shouldn't say, yeah, but if I had this position, then I would really be faithful. God is asking you to be faithful where you are right now. In the little things that you need to, you're responsible, whoever you are. And God, are we faithful in those things? We see that here. We're going to be faithful over little things. God is to make us rule over many things. And he may never move us from the spot, so to speak. But as long as we are faithful in what God is calling us to do. Now let's think real quickly here, before we run out of time, on some of the challenges that we face in our calling. All these things, they may sound so good, but there are challenges in our calling. And sometimes we don't feel capable of fulfilling the calling that God has called us to do. Have you ever felt that way? If you are a typical mother or father here this morning, you probably felt that way. verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God is calling you to whatever he is calling you to this morning, he is going to be there for you to see you through that. I remember the feeling that came to me when we were just a few months away from having our first son. It was like, wait a minute, how is this going to work? Am I going to know what I'm supposed to be doing to be a dad? And one encouragement that came to me is that there's many that have gone before me that set good examples that I can follow. But if God is calling us to whatever he's calling us to, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will make a way for us to see us through, but we need to walk with him in those things. James 1 verse 5 tells us this verse. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. Wisdom. Yes, do we as parents and others know what wisdom we need? So often we need wisdom to make these choices. And that verse continues on to say that God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And I'd love that thought. I know I shared it with you before. But that thought of abradeth not, and it means that God doesn't say, now, I told you last week on how you're supposed to deal with this issue with your child, and now you're asking me again? God doesn't do that. He gives us wisdom because we need it today again. Or whatever calling God has called you to do, God does not abrade and say, that's kind of a foolish question. He gives you wisdom as you humbly ask. What a blessing. What a blessing. We need that many a time. We need that many a time. Another challenge that we face in Luke 9, verse 62. Let me just read you that verse. Here are people that were called of God. Jesus himself, actually, this was a personal example here, everyday example, of Jesus was calling these people, and one by one they had excuses. And in verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we are tempted to say, we squirm a little bit and say, God, I don't know about this calling. I wish I did not have this calling that you've given me. I wish I had the freedom I had back then. God has called us to plow, so to speak. God has called us to whatever it is. And we look back and say, you know what? If I didn't have this, I could do this. Okay? Yeah, you'd have a lot more freedoms. I remember the battle that I faced when I was ordained deacon here a number of years ago. And all of a sudden it comes face to face. Some things are just not going to happen now. It's God's schedule. And this is the way it is with parents. Okay? We don't look back and say, you know, God, I can't do this after all. I'm going to have to step back for what you have called me to do. This is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's one application. There's probably more that can be taken on that. God is faithful. God, these people had a calling. And let's not consider it even to be an option to look back and wish we didn't have it. God is faithful to see us through. Then go to 1 Peter chapter 1. More challenges that we face. And promises. First Peter chapter 1. Some of the challenges that we face sometimes, let me just read starting in verse 3. First Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. That is this power of God, this inheritance, this salvation that God has given us. We rejoice in that, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This temptations is talking about the trials of life. In the calling that God has called us to, there are trials that we face. None of us as parents, none of us of any other calling are going to say, it just was a breeze. There was never a trial that we faced. In all my years of raising children, never had a trial. That's not even honest. We're not there. At times we face manifold temptation. We face many of them at the same time. In the midst of our calling, of whatever it may be. It says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is talking about even in the midst of these fiery trials that we face. There could be, it says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at what? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's talking about faithfulness in the midst of fiery trials. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are we that faithful in our calling? That when Jesus Christ should appear, there's going to be glory. There's going to be praise and honor at that time because we've been faithful in the midst of this fiery trial. Or are these fiery trials going to overtake us and consume us? Oh, at times I feel like they will. But I've told you the illustration before. Let me just remind you of this picture that I saw years ago of this beehive that was standing there in the sawmill, and the sawmill burned off and burnt everything to black crisp. It was nothing but a black box left there at sight. And when the owner's fire was gone, they came to this box expecting that these bees are going to be gone. This thing is going to be dead. They opened the lid and the wax had barely melted. These bees were alive. Why was that? That's not just the nature of bees that they just don't consume in fire. It doesn't take much to consume a bee in fire. But these things were alive. Why was that? Because they were able to produce enough of air moving inside that hive to keep it cool enough. Bees can do a tremendous amount with their wings. Tremendous cooling forces, but they banded together and they cooled the inside of that box to where the wax hadn't even melted much. And though the outside was scorched black box, I saw the picture myself, inside was alive. Brothers and sisters, you may find yourself in fiery trials. The outside may feel like it's going to be scorched black, but the inside can be alive at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's whom ye've not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Fiery trials are hard. But because of Jesus Christ, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We can be found faithful at his appearing in the midst of fiery trials. Quickly, what are some of the rewards? What are some of the rewards? Well, we're not doing this for rewards, but God does faith. God does tell us there are going to be rewards. For one, in the midst of these battles of life that we face, in the midst of our calling, we can have peace like we just talked about because all is well with God. We sing that song, "It is well with my soul." You know, the man that wrote that had just lost his wife and daughters to the angry waters of the Atlantic Ocean or whatever ocean it was. He had just lost them. They had been thrown over in the storm. He had just lost them, but he said, "It is well with my soul." We can have peace. Why? Because God has his promises and he's going to see us through. And there's rest in that as well. There's rest in that as well. One of the rewards that we do have, we can have. John, in writing in 2nd or 3rd John, he talks about no greater joy. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And for us, you know, when our children accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's joy. There's pain when they reject it. Understand. The best reward, brothers and sisters, is yet to come. And it's going to be there at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He brings his reward with them. Let's look again at that verse in Matthew 25. I know you're ready to close your Bibles by now. But Matthew 25, let's look at that verse again in verse 21. This is going to be the best reward that we can ever have. The best reward we can ever have if we are faithful in our calling. Matthew 25, verse 21. I read it before. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. Thou hast been faithful." Are we going to hear those words? Are we going to hear those words? You know, I was talking about parents teaching their children. And our work has tried how we're building on the foundation, Corinthians tells us. But you know, finally, our children do make choices of their own. And reward is not based on whether all our children are children of God when we get to glory. But have we been faithful in the calling that God has called us to do? And the choice is going to be up to our children, young people, the choices that they make. And we pray for them that they would make the right choices. But have we faithfully do what we can, what God has called us? God is not calling us to make the choice for them. We wish we could, but we can't. God's not calling us to that. He's calling us to be faithful in teaching them and setting that example. But this is the reward that God is promising his faithful servants. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We have no concept this morning what that is going to sound like to us when we get there. We can't grasp that. But brothers and sisters, this is a promise of God. If we are walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we have called us, whether it's mothers this morning, or whether it's fathers or young people, or whatever your calling is, as faithful children in his kingdom. Let's be faithful so we can hear those words.